I don't know, you float out of sea, and then one day you find a port. Say I'm gonna stay here for a few days. A few days becomes a few years. And then you forgot where you were going in the first place. And you realize you don't really give a shit about where you was going because you like where you're at.
Fitness podcast. It is Wednesday, February the 27th. Thanks so much for tuning in again today. Before I get started, as always, I want to throw a big old giant shout out to the patrons of the show. So as a reminder, go to patreon.com/ the Mind and Fitness podcast. These are basically contributors to the show. Thank you so much. So Stan, Kristen, Sarah, Helen, Arnie, Barbara, and Kim, thank you all so much for being patrons of the show. And there are also a couple of people that sent me messages about interviews. I did get back to you. Check your inboxes. Basically want to know what time zone are you in, and I'd love to get something set up, excuse me, for the end of March, possibly early April. So be cool to get some more interviews to put out there. Okay, so I promised everybody, I swore to you that I would have an interview this week with a CrossFit gym owner. That interview has happened, but I decided I'm going to air it next week, and I'll tell you why in a second. But it has been a very, very busy, couple of weeks. Thanks for last week tuning into the show. I had apologized in the podcast because at that point in time I'd been up so many hours and it was kind of like a late night recording and it might have sounded like rambling. I got a really nice message from somebody that basically said that they still loved it and to basically not need to apologize, and I'm going to get into that here in a couple of seconds too, because it is true, you know, it is a labor of love, certainly of this podcast. There's also been some really nice iTunes reviews that have come through and even a really nice Facebook review. Jeez, I should go... I'm actually going to find that and I'll read it to you. But it was a nice surprise. I sent it to my wife. Hold on. Digging through my text messages. Someone named Tara, they said, "The amount of knowledge spread across this podcast is enough to end a lot of human suffering." I love hearing stuff like that. So keep sending those forward. Not only does it feel like a big giant hug to me and to the podcast, but you know, this is really no different than going on Amazon and deciding if you want to buy a book or not, right? Like, what's the positive praise? And without that kind of positive praise, nobody listening to this would have ever found Dr. John Sarno's work, likely, and Nicole Sachs's work and Steve Ozanich's work and all that. So it's all about word of mouth. None of us are buying commercials. So that's just the way that it is. So anyway, I'm going to air that interview with the CrossFit gym owner next week. I'm going to be in Hawaii next week with my family. Nice family vacation. We're going to be in Maui. So again, if you listen to this and you're in Maui, shoot me a DM and we'll get together. But I'm going to rent a Harley and it's just going to be awesome. Go down water slides with my oldest kid. It's going to be so cool. And speaking of my oldest daughter, her and I went and did our first ever daddy-daughter dance last Saturday, so that was a blast. She ditched me for a little bit because there was a friend of hers that was there, but it was awesome. Most of it was fast dance, then it was a slow dance at the very end, and ultimately she ended up telling me that she doesn't like slow dancing. But I did pick her up, and I was holding her, and we were dancing together, and she whispered in my ear so softly, "Daddy, I love you," and it was just like the sweetest thing ever. Of all time. And I always think back to, you can call this triggering or whatever, but I was always thinking back to like dances where I was so embarrassed, like middle school and high school, to ever go out there and because I just don't want to look like an idiot, basically. And I had that exact same thought here, but I was just like, what the hell. And she grabbed me by the hand and we were like dancing on the dance floor, and that was awesome. And I'm sure I looked strange or whatever, but it was awesome. So just to be able to share that experience with her was certainly very, very special. I'm going to air that interview next week because I'm not going to be around. And actually, right after I get done recording this, I'm going to record the intro to that next podcast. There's not going to be anything that's going to change. But nevertheless, so over the next few weeks, I'm going to be in Hawaii next week, following week, I'm going to be in Chicago. And that trip to Chicago, as of this moment, Caitlin Michaels from the Mind Body Mastery podcast is going to be driving down from Milwaukee to Schaumburg, where I will be. And we're going to be recording. This will be on Thursday, March 14th, which would mean it's probably going to air Wednesday, March 20th for me. So you have that to look forward to. And then we wrap up March on the 27th, where I'm going to be the big 3-3, 33 years old. Pretty crazy how time flies. So my daughter yesterday, she asked me, she said, "Dad, when it's your birthday," because she knows the orders of the birthdays in the house now, "when it's your birthday, can you have chocolate cake?" And I was like, "What if I want brownies?" And she said, "I'd rather you have cake." So I guess for chocolate cake it is what we'll go for. But that's still over a month away, so we ain't even going to talk about that just yet. I'm still 32 for more than a month. I basically made like four bullets of things that I wanted to talk about today. And initially, the first couple are really going to center around. I brought this up very, very briefly in a show a few weeks ago, and it was a cool quote that I had heard from Dr. Arlene Feinblatt, who was on this show. You can find her episode in the archives, aired a couple of months ago. But one of the things that she pointed out was being able to have a vocabulary for negative emotions and being able to actually express emotions when you think them, not even necessarily to people that are out, that are, you know, it's not like me telling a friend, which it's nice to have that, but it can even just be me saying to myself or me writing in a journal or whatever it is. But a lot of people just don't have the capacity, or they didn't learn to, or maybe they stopped. This is the whole idea of being an adult and growing up, is that you're holding back and you're not saying emotions and you're becoming a robot, basically. So just literally being able to have the capacity and the awareness to be able to say literally two words, "I feel." And one thing that I've noticed is that my wife, because I was out of town last week, you know, that's a big burden on her to take care of both of the kids. And there was one night where she was telling me that she just feels like she's letting everybody down. And I was just like thinking, like, gosh, how nice of a bond is this that my wife and I are having right now, since I found this stuff, really, where we have the ability to, in a moment of frustration and weakness or sadness or whatever you want to call it, to be able to actually utter out the words, "I feel." I feel upset. I feel anxious. I feel sad. I feel angry. To just be able to say that, it's such a good practice, and it's muscle memory. So if you're not somebody that's been used to saying this, you need to be able to say it and like be able to say it to yourself in the moment. And being able to have somebody in your inner circle that you can share that with and say that, like, I feel this, I feel that, both happy and mad, or happy and good and bad, is certainly powerful. And so it's just something that has recently my wife and I have been able to say, and it's really, really nice. It's very much like a vulnerability, guard down kind of thing, being able to express that. When I interviewed Brad Gutting, again, you can find it in the archives, a couple of months ago, and we were joking that, like, we're going to be the generation of guys that are going to the gym and talking to each other about our feelings. And it made me laugh because there's a book that I'm reading right now, and I actually recommended it to Brad, and it's called, I'm bringing it up right now on the Kindle, but it is called "I Used to Be a Miserable Fuck." "I Used to Be a Miserable Fuck: An Every Man's Guide to a Meaningful Life," and it's by John Kim. And he talks about that specific thing in there, like, you know, being the person in 2019 that is going to the gym and sweating and lifting weights and motorcycling and CrossFit and all this stuff, but having the capacity to talk about your feelings and how this makes you feel. And I remember there was even once I went to a bar or a brewery with a buddy of mine maybe a month or two ago, and I was just thinking, like, gosh, this is going to sound so weird when you say this to him. But, you know, ultimately, like, vulnerability, rawness, and leaning into an uncomfortable feeling is such a big part of all of this stuff. And I told him that basically there was a specific criteria of people that I feel like I can wholeheartedly trust and say anything to. And I told him that I felt like he was among that, like, you know, one of only two or three people. And he seemed so happy to hear that. You know, those kind of things. Like, if you have somebody that's close to you, bring them in, tell them that, you know, it can only be really, really good for you and for your soul and all that kind of stuff. And one thing that that led me to think about was, this recruiter once that I was talking to, like a job recruiter. I was talking to him about the podcast and how much I enjoyed, and this might've been a year ago. And he had said to me that he feels like men don't have anybody to talk to. And if you're a female, obviously you can still listen to this part, but it brought me to think. So there was a college kid that I had talked to, and I've talked about a little bit on the show, won't say the person's name, but basically was having a lot of pain issues. And this was, this was going on for a long time, and he wanted to lift and be active and play basketball and all that kind of stuff. And just like, he was in so much pain, like felt that he couldn't. And I got this really nice message I'm going to share with you. This was sent to me on Friday. And I won't share the name, but here's the message. Thanks for all that you post and the support you give people. My son reached out to you at some very low points in his life. He was sure he had compartment syndrome in his arms and issues with his shoulders. We went to many specialists. Finally, we went on to see one of the top shoulder specialists in our area who said to my son, "Dude, you're a mystery to me." That's when I knew it was time to check out TMS and Dr. Sarno. This was helpful to my son, but even more so, what really helped him was seeing your story and connecting with you. Thanks so much for responding to his messages when he reached out to you. He's doing great now, lifting, working out, and enjoying his life. I can't thank you enough. He's not aware I'm reaching out to you, but I wanted to thank you. Keep doing what you're doing. God bless you and your family. And God, like, what a cool thing to hear. Because, you know, again, like, that's it's such a big part of it, is feeling like you have not only that you can find somebody that has gone through the same kind of things as you, but just having somebody with the overall openness and the empathy to say, "I understand what you're going through. I've been there," you know, that kind of thing. It's so powerful to have that. And the only way that you're going to essentially get that is to be vulnerable enough to say that you have a problem with something. And this goes back to earlier on in the conversation when I was talking about this capacity to express yourself and say that I feel this and I feel that. It's so in line with what I've been talking about the last couple of months, with leaning into things that feel uncomfortable, leaning into anxiety, leaning into pain, with somatic tracking and things like that. But it just becomes really powerful. You can essentially be your own advocate in that way. And brings me to another thing that I'm thinking about, and that's that being unapologetic for who you are, basically. So saying I'm sorry. Like, how many times have you, man or woman, how many times have you been talking to somebody about anything? Could be anything. Something that makes you sad. Could be a grandparent that passed away. Could be a sibling that passed away. Like, doesn't matter what it is. And you're telling them this story, and then you start to cry, and you apologize for it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like, sorry for being upset. When really, like, you're just explaining that you feel a certain way. And I feel like this can apply to your boss, to your spouse, to your kids. Something I'm really, really working on with my daughter is when I, you know, 4-year-olds are very tough if you've had one or if you do have one. And sometimes, like, I get really, really short with her, and she picks up on it now. And so me being able to say, Zoe, this makes me feel sad, or this makes me feel angry, or this makes me feel upset. Being able to express that, say, I lost my temper this time. And she's starting to say the exact same kind of things. We'll say when she lost her temper, which is, like, really, to me, like, pretty amazing for young kids to be able to express in that way. Her school works a lot on management of emotions and being able to express things in certain ways. And I just think that that's, like, such a powerful thing that so many of us just don't learn. And it's not even necessarily like your parents are telling you to not do this thing, but they're not telling you or urging you to express or to say how you feel or any of that. And so just because you haven't learned it, you go on and you repress and you repress and you repress. There was actually a really good post on one of these TMS Facebook groups, this woman explaining emotional repression and that it could really be anything. And she had this really great picture that she drew of two people. One person is saying, they're saying out loud, I'm fine, it's okay, I'm okay with that. And then it's kind of like the voice inside of their head saying, I'm so pissed. And, like, that's really what repression is just not having the ability to say out loud to yourself. And I think you're going to find, too, once you can, whether it's journaling or whether it's just talking to yourself, a little pep talk, or whether it's something that's more like a meditation / somatic tracking, just being able to be with how it is that you feel and not shove it away. So if you're pissed, go ahead, be pissed, acknowledge that you're pissed. If you're sad, it's okay to acknowledge that you're sad. So, that's really the best that I have to say about that kind of stuff. I had somebody had messaged me asking me about, and I talked to my buddy about this quite a bit too over text, but this idea of somatic tracking. I've gone over this a little bit, but I just wanted to do maybe like a crash course for you. If you have trouble on it, you can also go to the TMS Wiki. Alan Gordon on his structural educational program has a day that's dedicated to this, of somatic tracking. But basically, what I want you to do right now, if you're driving, maybe don't close your eyes, but if you're sitting there and you're listening to this, closing your eyes and being able to think about that spot on you that is has tension or is tight or you know, really like pick your thing, whatever it is that hurts. Like for me right now, I feel tension mid-back on the right side of my spine. And all we want to do, we're not trying to change it. We're just trying to, we're just looking at it, just observing. So I'm just observing that spot. And the more that you do this, the more that it's going to dissolve. Because again, like I mentioned a couple weeks ago, this is the fight or flight response that's turned on in your body. So any little discrepancy or anything like that within your body that is easy. Like, let me give you a good example. Say you played football as a kid, and you know that you took a lot of hits to the knees or whatever, you know, whatever. Basically, that area now may become susceptible to where you could have pain. And you always think that it's because you played football when you were a kid, when in reality, this is like your mind's going to go there, like because that's what you know that you're going to have. It's the exact same thing, this collective consciousness idea that the back pain is the thing now that ulcers were in the 1970s and 60s and 80s and all that. It's like everybody got an ulcer and that's where their pain went. Same idea now with the back or the ankle or the feet or the wrists or software developers that get RSI or people that spend a lot of time looking at a computer screen and they think their posture is all fucked or they're going to get migraines or whatever the case is. Like, there's a collective consciousness thing about it. I feel like the more people that are around you that talk about certain things hurting, then it's like you're going to hurt. I even remember talking to Steve Ozanich on this podcast a little over a year ago, 13 months ago, 14 months ago, something like that. And he was talking about this idea, and I was thinking, gosh, if I just sat there and I just thought, oh, my elbow hurts. Oh, maybe my elbow does hurt. And I'll give you another example of this when I'm thinking about it. Sometimes, literally, like it's been, if it were like 6 or 7 months since the last time I got sick, just like a cold, which for men is a lot worse than it is for women. I'm kidding, man cold. But sometimes I'll sit there and I'll just think like, man, it sure has been a long time since I got a cold. And inevitably, I will wake up the next day or a couple days later with some kind of an illness. And it's very irritating because it's the collective consciousness idea. But the people that are around you that are talking about their backs being all messed up or their knees hurting or whatever this is, like everybody's kind of wallowing in their own shit. And that's what a lot of this, that's what a lot of that kind of stuff is, this collective consciousness idea, and happening at epidemic fashion, mind you, in an epidemic way. So, I don't know. It's all pretty wild. So that kind of wraps up the this podcast. Another short one, 20 minutes long. But I've got three interviews that are sitting in the hopper right now. You're definitely going to hear one next week. You're probably going to hear one the week after that. You're probably going to hear one the week after that. And then I'm thinking a solo show and then another one, another interview. So basically, I've got the next month and a half that is all accounted for and already in here. So thank you so much for your time. Feel free to send me a DM if you got show ideas, question ideas, you want to be interviewed, that kind of thing. We'll get something on the books, certainly. Life is a little hectic right now, but I love this podcast, and I love that all of you guys choose to spend somewhere between 20 and 70 minutes, or sometimes even longer than that, minutes with me per week. It means the world to me. So thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great rest of the week.